You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. I am so thrilled to introduce you to this very special episode where we are getting to know a Marketing Hall of Fame winner here. Mary, congratulations, winning Marketing Hall of Fame 2024.
Thank you so much. I appreciate this more than I can say. It's incredible. Thank you so much.
No, Mary. So many superheroes have these amazing origin stories of where they came from, the adventures they went on. Mary, kind of tell us your journey, because your bio is beautiful. It's speckled with all sorts of awesomeness, but I'd love to hear from your words and your perspective of kind of the journey that you went through to get into the seat you are today.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you. I'll say my journey was a bit eclectic and definitely not linear. So I began my career as a journalist and I worked in Washington. I'm still in my heart, a journalist, I think the news and those that report the news, it's so critical to how society operates and functions. So I was a journalist for a number of years and ended up getting into financial services journalism. And after a while, I realized that I actually loved the industry of financial services, product development, IT, marketing, how products were built, how they are used and consumed. And so I went to work for a bank. Then I went to work for an insurance company. And I spent, I would say, about two-thirds of my career in financial services running a P&L. And so I ended up being a business leader on the pension and investment management side at Sun Life Financial. And the way I got into marketing was I had a great mentor who saw that at some point I needed to move on and do something new and something different. And he said, why don't you become a marketer? And I thought, what an amazing thing. I don't know anything about marketing and I couldn't even see myself in an industry that I admired, but I knew nothing about. But he saw that my skills were portable and he really encouraged me. And so I took a chance based on my respect for him, but also because that industry just, I was so curious about it. So I built a network. I studied from the best. People were incredibly giving with their time, with their insights. And I found that what became really my third career has been actually the best of three great careers. So here I am as a marketer. I think I do know what I'm doing at this point now, although, does anyone really? But it has been an incredible journey. And everything that I learned, whether it was as a journalist or as a business leader, I think just kind of equipped me and set me up for the skills that I need as now as a marketer.
That's incredible. And I want to know about, how did you find that mentor? How did you come into that relationship? Because I think there's a lot of people listening who wish they had a mentor, or maybe want to become a mentor. What does that look like?
You know, it's a great question. I give this advice to everyone, whether they're starting out or even later in life, because now I find I'm in the situation where people will ask me to be their mentor, but I'm actually looking for reverse mentorship. I'm trying to learn from young people because they have so much to offer. And I want to make sure that I fully understand what that next generation of consumer wants and needs. And so I find I'm getting mentored by them, but everyone needs a mentor, multiple mentors. I've found that you need them in your career. You also need them in your life. I've had great mentors that have helped me when I became a mom. So I think finding a mentor is usually someone you admire. And I always tell people, make sure they're very different than you, because the best mentors teach you about things that you wouldn't normally get to on your path. And so one of my best mentors, you know, the person that introduced me to marketing, he's a male Scottish actuary, and I am a female Italian artistic creative person. We couldn't be more different. And yet we have taught each other so much just because our differences and our inclusive approach to mentorship just allows you to learn from people that are different than you. So I've always said, get lots of mentors, different stages in your life, and make sure they're different than you are.
And not to get too into the details and nuts and bolts, but what does that even look like to approach a mentor? Like, is it an email? Is it a LinkedIn message? Is it make sure you can do it in person? Like, what would be like an ideal scenario for someone who's maybe nervous or doesn't even know what to say? To be like, cause, you know, you ask someone out for the first time, or you meet someone on a train, right? Like those meet cute moments, but like you've seen them in movies, but how do we do mentorship requests in real life?
I think there's a lot of different approaches. So I would start by saying, look, whatever way someone feels most comfortable. If you're more introverted, you might want to start with an email or reach out through LinkedIn. If you're more extroverted, you might, track someone down and have coffee with them or some combination. But I would start by saying whatever you're most comfortable with is how you should create your approach. Then I'd say find people that you admire and make sure you do your homework about what you want that relationship to look like, because they're investing time and it should be mutually beneficial. I would say use that time wisely, always be very prepared. I would say, you know, if you set it up almost like, I promise 4 times a year, 30 minutes each time, and I will be very prepared. And I want to talk about the following 3 things. No one will say no, you know? So I think it's really about the approach. It's really about being structured, and it's about paying it forward for them, because something you can offer them might be, as I mentioned earlier, that reverse mentorship, or it might be you've got a skill that they're trying to learn. So always think about it as a mutually beneficial exchange, and then see where it goes. And if it doesn't pan out the way you think, it's okay. Just move on to someone else.
That is great advice. Random story. When I was 18 at the University of Victoria, I met this older Welshman who was in his, like, I want to say 70s. And he would only meet with me if I came prepared with questions, and I had to set him the questions ahead of time, and if I would work on his garden. So he would sit in a lawn chair and I would be out digging and moving trees. And so that was our kind of like, that was the tit for tat, or the exchange.
That was the exchange, right?
Yeah.
Hey, look, it appears in different ways, right?
No, it was amazing.
That's great.
So okay, fast forward to today, tell us about the seat you hold and the role you play in the world of marketing.
Oh, I feel like I have the best job in the world. So, you know, RBC, it's a financial services company. It's global. You know, my role would consist of product and service marketing for the retail bank, for wealth management, brand and sponsorship. So things like, you know, the upcoming Olympics or Taylor Swift, or sports ambassadors. Corporate citizenship and ESG, which is so near and dear to my heart. It's the part of the job where the partnerships and the donations and the programs that we create do good in the world. And that's always so fulfilling. And then the other side is corporate communications. So media relations, internal and external, that draws from my journalism background. So, you know, this is a job where I would say now, you know, I can see how these pieces come together. And some of the most fun that I have is how do we develop our talent, develop them across these disciplines, ensure that they're future ready with skills around, say, generative AI, you know, the change, the shift in creativity, you know, how to use data, become more comfortable with data. And then just, you know, how do you make sure that you're always protecting and defending your brand in a world where the frequency of attacks, trust being called into question, you know, all kinds of things around, you know, kind of, you know, the truth can often be distorted, disinformation. So there's a lot of offense that you play, but there's increasingly a lot of defense. So I find every day is very different. And you rely on fantastic talent. And I think when you're a CMO, your biggest job is to be a steward of that talent and growing and developing that next generation.
And I think most listeners would know the RBC brand from maybe themselves being a customer, seeing the brand everywhere in most cities, ATMs, you name it. But I want to talk about the foundation. You are the chair of the RBC Foundation. I want to say the largest foundation in Canada. And maybe tell us some of the projects you guys have been doing from RBC Next to some of the other amazing initiatives.
Yeah, this is, you know, again, it's like a wonderful part of how we live and express our brand. So, you know, let me start first of all with our employees, because I was telling someone yesterday, our employees last year crossed 1 million volunteer hours in community. So this is, you know, this is RBC at its best, right? So as a foundation, you know, we donate approximately about $160 to $165 million a year. We are a 1% Imagine company, so it's 1% of our pre-tax earnings on a rolling five-year basis. And that would go into things such as developing young people for the future. So Future Launch, our $500 million commitment, scholarships, mentoring, networking, mental health would be some of the hallmarks of that program. We do a lot around the environment and the E in ESG, working you know, with a program called Tech for Nature, where we are often seeding and funding emerging companies that are looking to help reduce emissions and get Canada to net zero. We also do a lot around the arts and the arts and creative class. And so, you know, there our emerging artist program would do so much with, you know, young talent, whether it's skills development or connecting them so that their futures can thrive. There's so much about art and the creative class that is just at the hallmark of society. And often in this digital age, you want to make sure that those human skills and the things that bring communities together in such a pure way don't get lost. So the foundation does phenomenal work, but our employees and the volunteer hours that they put into it is, I think, another part of the story.
Yeah, that's incredible. And this, the projects that you continue to do and the innovation even within the foundation, like I had the chance to talk to Mark recently and just the stuff that you guys are doing is incredible.
Oh yeah. And there is a lot of innovation in the charitable sector, which I think for Canada, I mean, we can tell a very good story. We should be very proud there.
Amazing. And you mentioned this, all right, Taylor Swift, tell me about why and how did that come to fruition? Cause that's pretty cool. And the impact that made, cause I think I even remember at one point, our own prime minister was asking and hoping that Taylor would come to Canada when her tour was announced without Canadian dates. And so I want to maybe, you know, hear your side of the story. How did you make that happen? And what did that look like?
Oh, well, that was a pretty special moment. And I mean, that was last July. Mm-hmm. So just, and she was, you know, the most famous person in the world, I would say. How does someone become even bigger than that, right? And yet she's been able to do it. So, you know, why Taylor Swift? I think we love what she embodies. She is an artist that is so in touch with her fans. She's inclusive. She's a strong female voice on the stage, and she creates room for other women, other talent, emerging talent. So the generosity of how she brings people together and shines her spotlight on talent has just been phenomenal, right? It's very giving, right? And it's about making sure that the pie keeps growing and that voices keep, you know, growing and are discovered. And she is, she's a bit of a fairy godmother in that respect. So we love everything that Taylor stands for. And then there's, of course, the other side of it, which is just the sheer economic development of, you know, the Taylor Swift, you know, glitter bomb that drops on a city. And, you know, we've all seen those reports about just the sheer economic lift that cities get. Well, as a bank, to bring that to Canada and to bring that to two cities in Canada, where small businesses will benefit and the communities around will benefit, the service industries, which were so adversely impacted after COVID, will benefit. A lot of them are our clients. And then, of course, there's just making dreams come true for people, you know, and music is such a great humanizing unifier of people. And I just think next November and next December, when she comes to Canada, it's going to be pretty special for everyone. it's all good.
That is amazing. That's amazing. Trends, things that you're watching, what excites you right now, or what are you kind of like observing or getting excited about that you're kind of keeping on the purview?
Yeah. You know what? I will say the world is changing very quickly right now. and I'll start with audiences, because I think it all starts with how do you look at your audiences? Who are they? What do they do? How do you get onto their path? Where do you find them? And how do you create relevance with them? So, you know, a couple of audiences in particular that we're finding very interesting. So the boomer generation. Very easy to stereotype that generation, but you know, what's interesting to us is that generation is changing quickly. So, you know, a couple of interesting facts about how 70 is now the new 50 with that particular audience. They're driving the economy. So this is an audience that spent $7 billion online in North America last year. 82% of them have social media accounts, right? And they're using those accounts. They have time. They have stories, they have experience, and they're living life healthier than they ever have been, with more disposable income than any other generation. And so where you might have thought that you would, in the ways that brands might engage them or find them, I think that generation has really changed, and it's moved to being much more social, much more digital than I think people appreciate. And they're looking for experiences, and they're looking to share those experiences with like-minded communities. So that's a generation that we are watching, because it's shifting, and they are a powerful generation for, you know, and drive the economy in a significant way. On the other side of the spectrum, you've got Gen Alpha. And so Gen Alpha is interesting to us because they've got very unique considerations. They've grown up as digital natives. They were born in 2010, the year that the iPad was released, Instagram, took hold. And it was, app was the word of the year. They use TikTok as their search engine, right? So they are procuring and searching for and getting advice from TikTok, not the traditional sources of search. And so this is a very socially minded, inclusive digital generation that actually has quite a lot of similarities to other generations that I think people are starting to really understand and realize. So how we watch audiences like those two in particular is, I would say, a very interesting trend for brands everywhere. Another trend is disinformation. And I think this is a very harmful one. When you think about the fact that three quarters of the world over the next 2 years will be going to the polls and voting in elections, the quality and source of truth and information is going to be more important than ever before. And it has the ability to change governments and how societies live for years to come. It's also where brands have to play more offense and more defense around protecting, and also around leaning in as a source of truth and an authority on the topics that matter to their sector, to their industry. And then maybe one last trend that, you know, of course, we're looking at is generative AI and just the impact on Gen AI, on skills, on talent, on how marketers, navigate their audiences, the channels, and their products, as well as their skill sets in the coming years. And so I would say those are just kind of four of, you know, like a myriad of things that we are looking at. But I would say they're the four that we're spending much more time on.
That is amazing.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And those that are listening now and say, man, I want to grow in my marketing OS. I want to advance. I want to get to a stage one day, be like Mary, right? What sort of advice do you give people outside of finding a mentor and getting a mentorship? Is there other pieces of advice you give folks as far as what they could be doing?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I will always tell people, some of the most interesting marketers that I've met did not start in marketing and stayed in marketing. They typically came to marketing from a number of other disciplines, but one of the richest ones is they actually worked in the business, frontline, customer service, product development. You learn the business, you learn the customer, you interact with a customer or an intermediary, if it's B2B. It gives you an appreciation for how your company, your brand, your product, your service actually is received and used in the market. And when you become a marketer eventually, you have an appreciation for the customer. You're putting the customer first, the voice of that customer is in your mind, and it gives you a different lens as a marketer, how to look at data, how to interpret data, how to apply data. You yourself getting out into the field and listening, ongoing, you know, and making sure that you're never out of touch with who your audience is because you're invested in hearing from them directly. You often learn that in your career when you are on the front line of any business. And so I would say one of the biggest skills is one that you acquire that leads you into marketing and makes you a better marketer over time. So I give everybody that advice. You got to be hugged by a client and screamed at by a client before you really understand the client, priority 1, 2, and 3.
Wow, that is great. Mary, this is a very timely question. And so again, if you're not ready for an answer yet, totally okay. And you might have something that you've thought about, but the news recently was CTV and the layoffs, the news industry in Canada shrinking. It made me very sad today. For lack of a better term, feeling concerned and worried. Do you have any words of hope, or especially with your background in journalism, do you have any advice or things that we could be looking to or focusing on, or like subscribe to your local paper, or I don't know, and pay for the Globe and Mail subscription, or what would you say to folks who are listening now to say we're also maybe concerned and worried and sad about the state of the media?
It was such a sad day. I mean, I think like you, I woke up this morning, saw the news, and I just felt gutted. I felt gutted. You know, I came from that industry. I think that the role that journalism plays in society is a critical one. And, you know, just to see that, especially Canadian journalism, you know, that roles and opportunities have been shrinking over time. You know, it's heartbreaking. It really is. I think we all have a role to play in protecting Canadian content, and anyone can do it. I mean, you know, as an advertiser, we make sure that we are placing media with Canadian organizations. Right. You know, like, I mean, we obviously place our media in many different places, but we do favor Canadian content, and we, you know, we have amazing relationships on, I would say, the commercial side.
Yeah.
As an individual, oh, subscribe, you know, like, it's not a lot, but, you know, like, I mean, Toronto Star, Globe and Mail, whatever your local papers are, support them. You know, I remember I'm from Hamilton, and when I started at the Hamilton Spectator, and, you know, like there's just a place for local community stories. Mm-hmm. They're the heart of communities often. Like your local community source is usually the heart of a community, how information about that community is shared and how we keep each other informed and some of the best stories. So we have to find room to keep those voices and to keep this industry growing. So I'd say talk to your Minister of Parliament, subscribe personally, and I hope that brands continue to make room in their budget for Canadian content.
Love that. And I think a lot of folks listening now manage media buys, and instead of just giving it to Facebook and Google and the kind of the big American corps, maybe consider Canadian made and created content. It's great advice. My dad recently texted me a photo, and this is, I was in grade 7 and I got a volunteer at the Delta Optimist, which is like, I think a Glacier or Black Press, little local paper. And it was an article I wrote about a bulletin board that got put up in my local elementary school. So that was my first chance in journalism, right? Like, I don't know anyone else that would give a grade 7 kid the chance to write and publish an article. So,
and that's a great point. I mean, community papers, community radio stations, community, like community reporting gives young people like you and I, when we were starting out, that chance, whether it's a paid internship, an unpaid internship, but you learn those valuable skills that then just allows you to keep progressing. They play such an important role in society.
Well, thank you for that, Mary. Thank you for sharing that on the spot question. I would like to jump into the rapid fire if you're feeling ready.
Oh, no. Okay. All right.
Okay. So this is just your quick thoughts about feelings, responses to these questions. So what was your first ever job?
My first ever job was working the cash at a pharmacy. And I would say it was probably one of my best jobs. I mean, I loved, again, on the corner in a community.
Yeah.
You see everybody. Yeah. Incredible job. Customer service.
You learn everyone's secrets. All their needs.
Everybody's secrets.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Local gossip.
Yeah, totally. Night owl or early bird?
Very early bird.
Okay. Nice.
Very early.
Wow. Cat or dog person?
I'm a dog person. I have a golden retriever. Yeah, dog person all the way.
Okay, go back early. How early is it? Really early. What time are we talking?
Five thirty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Amazing. what was the first thing that you ever marketed?
The first thing I ever marketed was insurance. So, you know, I thought I'd start with a really easy category.
Yeah.
But, you know, honestly, the first thing anyone ever markets is themselves.
Right. Yes. Yeah. That's very true. Yeah, that's
we're all marketers.
Putting out your resume, putting out your who you are, how you dress every day. Yeah. Dark or milk chocolate?
All chocolate.
All chocolate.
All of it.
Okay. Nice. Even white. Would you put
there's
white
no bad chocolate. Chocolate. No. White, anything. Anything.
Okay. Perfect. What is your favorite word right now?
My favorite word right now is hope. Simple word. Simple word, but powerful and brings other words to it. Compassion, positivity. But hope is a real anchoring word for me.
That's really cool. What was the last charity that you supported financially or with your time and why?
Food Bank, because I had read an article about the pressure, especially in big cities, with the rising cost of food, and it broke my heart. And Food Bank was both a financial donation as well as I collected food and dropped it off. Food's core to survival, right? And so when that's under pressure, that you got an issue in your city.
100%. What is a movie that you could watch over and over and over again?
Well, this is a funny one. Okay, so, and I don't know why, but I can do this over and over again with my daughters. Sliding Doors, like old movie, Gwyneth Paltrow. It's about how, you know, a life can go in one or more directions, depending on whether she caught that subway or not. Yeah. I don't know why I love it so much, but it's just become this campy thing that my daughters and I watch on repeat. Sliding Doors.
Awesome. Okay, good to know. I haven't heard that one. It's awesome. Favorite song or album on repeat right now?
Oh, the Foo Fighters' Greatest Hits. Nice. I love the Foo Fighters. Yeah, I love that whole genre. I was a Nirvana fan, all of it. Yeah. So, and you know what it was? I recently saw in my bookshelf one of my favorite books, Dave Grohl's Storyteller.
Yeah.
And the minute I see just the spine of that book, I just go on Spotify and it's, you know, Nirvana and Foo Fighters for the next 3 days.
Oh, that's awesome. That's very fun. Lots of good memories, probably. That's
oh, great. Yeah. What a time.
Yeah, totally. If you were doing this job, what would you be doing with your life? And maybe another multiverse.
Do I need to have skill or can I, more aspiration?
Anything.
Okay. You know what? I love music. And we've become a pretty musical family. I'd either be managing an artist or I would be an artist. I think there's something so powerful about music. Yeah, that's my aspirational career. Not that I'm talented.
No. Do you have an instrument you love or you lean towards that you'd be playing?
Yeah, I'd be playing drums.
Drums, nice, awesome.
Yeah.
What's an app on your phone you can't live without?
An app on my phone I can't live without. So if I'm being truly honest, it's Instagram.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. And favorite children's book?
Favorite children's book? One that my daughters and I have read over and over is Guess How Much I Love You.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah. Love that. Or anything Dr. Seuss. But Guess How Much I Love You is... Yeah, that's definitely, that was a hallmark of my girls growing up.
Best thing you ever bought for under $10?
Chocolate.
Yeah, much, right?
Probably chocolate. You can't buy much under $10 anymore. So probably just something that gives you that boost of joy. That's what it would be.
Amazing. What's the most important thing you ever changed your mind about?
When I became a mother for the first time, my outlook on life changed, completely changed. So I would say becoming a mother changed my my view on career, time management. My values changed over time as, you know, these two little girls are growing up and I'm seeing the world through them. So I would say when I became a mom, like I have changed my views on things and my life significantly to just bend it around the two most important human beings in my world.
That's awesome. That's beautiful. Business or marketing book that you recommend?
Business or marketing book that I recommend? I would say a book that I would recommend, not necessarily about business or marketing, but it's The Art of War by Sun Tzu. Yeah. That's a book that you can pull down and apply to any strategy, whether it's business or marketing or anything you might be tasked with leading. That is, I would say that's been the most important book of my career.
Is that where Keep Your Friends Closer, Enemies Closer came from? Is that, okay, okay. That, there's probably lots more quotes besides that in there.
There's a lot, yeah. There's a lot in that book.
Right. Any podcasts or newsletters that you recommend for resources?
Well, a favorite podcast of mine is Chatter That Matters because, yes. You know, our dear friend, Tony Chapman has built that from the ground up. And when you think about the voices that he profiles, many of them Canadian, like back to our note about Canadian content, I would say like, it's one of my favorite things to listen to. I mean, obviously because Tony is so talented, but the stories that he brings out of people are they're humbling. They're wonderful.
Amazing. When you're looking to hire new staff, people joining the RBC world in marketing, advertising, media buying, all that stuff, what do you look for in new employees? What do you look for when you hire someone?
I always look for attitude. It's all about attitude. I have taken the view over 32 years of working. You can teach anyone anything. If they had that disposition to learn. So when I look for attitude and fit. Are they hardworking? Are they humble? Are they curious? Do they have drive? Are they team players? If you have those things in someone, you can teach them anything. So I hire based on attitude.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Mary, anything else you want to leave with listeners and viewers today?
Oh, no, this has been wonderful. Thank you. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Oh, Mary, it's a huge, huge pleasure. Congrats again, Marketing Hall of Fame winner 2024. We're going to listen to your nomination video next here on the show. Tony Chapman, who we referenced earlier, thank you for taking the time to put this video together. This audio for those that are listening on podcasts. And again, Mary, congratulations. And we look forward to seeing where you go next and all the places you will go and the people that you are mentoring. And that's very exciting. I like the way you called it. The, what'd you call it? Co-mentoring? Share mentoring? What do you call it when you're-
Reverse mentoring.
Reverse mentoring. Okay, I love that. I've never heard that, that before. That is brilliant. So thank you for all you do at RBC and bringing Taylor to Canada for all of the Swifties out there. I'm sure now we know who to thank. So appreciate it very much.
It took a village, I'll tell you. Thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
All right. I'm going to hand it over to Tony to close us off, but thank you for listening. Another episode of Marketing News Canada.
I'm a huge fan of Darren Kovacs. I love the fact he's created a Hall of Fame and cast a net to look for the trailblazers, the mavericks, the disruptors in PR and branding, communications and advertising. I get to introduce the latest inductee, someone I'm a massive fan of, also a friend of. Her name's Mary DePauli. Her roots began in Hamilton. Somehow or other, she thought big enough to go to work for CNN in Atlanta, interned, served Larry King his chicken dinner, but every night that she did, she asked him questions. And she's never stopped feeding her curious mind. And every branch she stewarded from Sun Life to RBC, she's done that with brilliant vision, strategy, empathy, and the ability to inspire others so they do the right thing, not just anything. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our newest inductee, the one and only Mary DePauli.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded at the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editor, Travis Jeffers.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big.